This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثات وشر الحديث كتاب الله وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم أرنا حقيقة الأشياء كما هي اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمين يا رب العالمين. The ayat that I just recited in front of you from Surah Inshirah, before I actually get to these ayat, I would like to talk about Surah Al-Duha. And it is this that was going around in my head, and rather than focusing on the khutbah that I was giving, I was thinking about the ayat themselves, subhanAllah. And they come at a time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he's getting used to himself being a prophet. Again, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not from the time of his birth or even in his teenage or even in his young adulthood aspiring to grow up to be a prophet. That is not on his radar. That is not something that he has as an aspiration or an ambition. Not at all. For him, it is the plight of his people, the difficulty, the injustice that he sees around himself, and to reconcile that with the understanding of Tawheed. And his desperation to help people around him, his yearning to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is that which drives him, that he chooses rather, to distance himself from a very loving family, everything that he has at his disposal. He is in one of the wealthiest households in Mecca, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detaches himself from that, and he's spending night after night, day after day, in a cave, pondering, reflecting, worshipping, working all of this out. In the words of the Quran, he is looking for guidance in these moments, in these retreats to the cave. And as his retreats bear fruit, and he experiences revelation for the first time, he's terrified, he's horrified. He doesn't know how to respond, he doesn't know what that is. It takes for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then Warqa bin Nawfil, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then further revelations from the Quran itself, for him to come to be at peace with his own prophethood. As far as he was concerned, he didn't know what it was. Is this a shaitan? Am I being possessed? Am I going crazy? Am I becoming a poet? All of these things he detested, he did not want. He did not want any of that for himself. It took for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha not once, not twice, but in multiple ways to demonstrate to him, to reason with him, to console him that he is, in fact, experiencing something which is from Allah. It cannot be something negative. It cannot be something demonic. And so as he comes to believe,
And revelation after revelation he experiences. There comes a time and he's getting used to the phenomena. He's getting used to this wahi from Allah. It is incredibly painful, mind you. Till the very end, the experience of wahi was very painful upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a physical strain that he would feel as revelation is coming upon him. Yet there comes a time where he starts recognizing the immensity of responsibility upon him. When he tells Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that the time for rest is over, our life is going to be different from now on. This is it. The direction that we're going to take from here on in, it's going to be a lot of struggle, it's going to be a lot of hard work. Warqa had already told him, your people are going to drive you out. You're not going to be even being allowed to stay in your own city. So Rasulullah ﷺ is ready for all of that. And with all of that, his relationship with the Qur'an is developing. When we say the love of the Prophet, we mean two things. The love that we have for the Prophet ﷺ, but then the love that the Prophet had for Allah. And it is sunnah. It is for us to practice that sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as to how he embodied that love of Allah in his life. And we see a glimpse of that in these ayats, in these two surahs particularly, Surah Al-Duha and Surah Inshirah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is greatly saddened that now after the beginning of revelation, where he's getting used to it, where he's understanding his role, where he's understanding Allah, his responsibility is in front of him, and all of a sudden, revelation stops. Jibreel is not coming anymore. No more ayats from the Quran are being revealed upon him. He's waiting, and nothing. He had just gotten used to it, and now there's a break. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the humility that he had, the introspective person that he was, always looking within himself, the question that he asks himself, what he's concerned about, did I do something wrong? Did I make a mistake? Again, the humility cannot be emphasized enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is surrounded by the most obnoxious people, by the most arrogant people, by the people who are so full of themselves that they think if there's anything like revelation, they deserve it more than anybody else. Who are not willing to see his truthfulness, his trustworthiness, even though they testified to it themselves. They're not willing to acknowledge it anymore. And yet he is looking within himself, am I doing something wrong? Did I not live up to the responsibility that Allah placed upon my shoulders? Is that why he has abandoned me? Is that why he had forsaken me? Has he forsaken me? We speak a lot about confidence. But if you talk about confidence without balancing that with humility, then you're talking about arrogance. If you're talking about confidence without focusing on content, you're talking about narcissistic people who are so full of themselves, they have no idea, but they're still so full of themselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not, I dare say, go to an American school where you're taught to be confident before you're taught humanity. You're told about your self-worth before you're taught about your direction in this world. Where you're taught about your desires being of the utmost importance, worthy of worship, worthy of being worshipped by others as well. Before you're taught about how true psychological development depends upon curtailing those desires. Where you raise leaders who don't have direction, where you raise students who have confidence without content. And so there is this unwillingness to learn. There is this unwillingness to experience how much more there is to Allah. Something that Quran is for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, contrast that with our approach to the Quran. If I have not interacted with the ayat of Allah recently, opening myself up to the message that they have, to the guidance that they have, what is it that Allah wants of me? How is it that I can know Allah better? Through the ayat of Allah, understanding them, yes, reciting them, yes, talking about them, looking for the meaning, looking for guidance within the Quran. If I have not had such interactions, am I claiming that I already know whatever there is in the Quran? Am I saying that I already have a good understanding? It's talking about heaven and hell and Tawheed and the prophets and stories of prophets. If that's all of what I think the Quran is and all of what I know, and there's no relevance in my life, then I contrast that with the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in this instance is so doubtful of himself. He's so afraid, scared for himself, that Allah reveals the ayat, reassuring him, telling him, وَالضُحَى, by the glorious morning light, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and the night when it is still, that this Quran comes as the glorious morning light. A light that pierces the darkness. But how do you appreciate that light? How do you appreciate daybreak if you have not experienced pitch black darkness? If you have not experienced the night in its unnerving stillness, where it seems like it's going to be perpetual, as if it's never going to go away. And so much of the revelation of the Quran for mankind, for humanity, was daybreak after such a long night. Since Isa alayhi salam all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that night spanned. And then the sun rose. But even within the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the darkness of the night that he had to go through without Quran, without the guidance of Quran, without knowing where he is to go, how he is to make sense of all of what he's experiencing. And then Iqra happened. And then even after Iqra happened, there have to be breaks in between. There has to be a pause. There has to be some rest. He needs time to acclimatize, subhanAllah, with the ayat of Allah to be prepared for more. There are at least two occasions in the Quran other than this where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love of the Quran, again, his sunnah that we're trying to emphasize today, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion tells Jibreel, why do you take so long to come? Why don't you come more frequently? Allah records Jibreel's response in Surah Al-Taha. And we don't come of our own accord, Ya Rasulullah. We come when Allah tells us to come. And in Surah Al-Qiyamah, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Do not move your tongue quickly. Because Rasulullah is reciting, as Jibreel is revealing the Quran, he's reciting it quickly. Why? He doesn't want to forget anything. He doesn't want to lapse in any way with the responsibility that's on his shoulders. Allah says, don't worry about it. Just be calm. As it's coming, receive it. Experiencing it. Open yourself up for it. You don't have to do anything about it. Yes, when it has been revealed, then you go on and take that responsibility further. So here too, his longing for the Quran. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Rabb has not forsaken you. He hasn't abandoned you. He is not displeased with you. Again, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was a very real concern. This was a very real concern that the Quran is dispelling. Something that in our relationship with Allah, we have to see, do we have that yearning? Do we have that concern? Even if we do experience it, even if we do experience that guilt, as we should, do we just turn away from that guilt because it's painful? Do we just shut our eyes to it? Don't want to think about it too much because it hurts? Validate ourselves, console ourselves, sing lullabies to ourselves without having changed anything about ourselves. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a long period of time before this reassurance came. And this reassurance comes because there is a genuine concern that he has for himself. And it comes from Allah. And the rest of the surah talks about the blessings of Allah upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a promise that Allah will give him. Again, he takes this promise on faith because as of the moment that these ayats are being revealed, nothing seems to be in his favor. The odds are stacked against him, 1,000,000 to 1. He takes the ayat and the promise that the ayat make on faith. And he lives on that faith, and the promise comes true. But contingent within that promise is the faith that you have to uphold on your end. We talk a lot about the promises of Allah and the victory that Allah will give to the believing people, but we forget that the victory is for the believing people. أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are going to prevail. You are going to be successful. You are going to be superior if you are believers. That's a very scary ayah. Because what that says is if you're not prevailing, if you're not successful, if you're not superior, what does that say about my iman? Where do I stand? And so the promise that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam receives from Allah and revelation restarts. A few more ayats again, talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time before revelation, how he was an orphan, how he was searching for guidance, how he was in need, and all of that was fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah. Now this particular surah talks about another tendency that develops when you have that, when you experience that intimacy with Allah, when you experience that closeness, when you get to that level, and it's something that you experience on two levels, on two stages. Once is in the beginning of when you're very spiritual, when you consciously decide, I'm gonna become a person of Allah. The newfound religiosity. Either you're a convert or you're born Muslim, but there comes a time where you take your religion seriously in those first few months, the honeymoon period of spirituality, if you will. There's an intense feeling and attachment to Allah. That's, again, absolutely incredible for those of us who are fortunate enough to experience it, but it doesn't last. There comes a dip. There comes a time where you don't have that level of intensity, where your older desires and bad habits start coming back. And it is when you push past that, struggle through it, seek Allah in spite of it, not feeling like it the way you used to, and you keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it, then the doors open again. Then the attachment takes place again. Then the longing and the yearning happens again. But even there, it happens with a risk. A risk that many spiritual people, many mystics, fall for. That this attachment, this experience of intimacy with Allah, this experiencing His love, experiencing His responses, experiencing Him as the ultimate cause of everything around me, it's such a state of tranquility. There is so much peace in there. And then Quran is making sense. You're relating, it's like Quran is talking to you, Allah is talking to you. You find yourself being addressed. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his nights are being spent, one third, one half, two thirds of the night standing before Allah, reciting that Quran. That's how much that yearning is, that's how much that longing is, that's how intense that intimacy with Allah is. But the night comes to an end. The praying has to stop. He has to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Get up and get out. And face who? Abu Jahl, Walid bin Mughira, Abu Sufyan, Abu Lahab. Hear them curse him. See them torture those who follow him. And so, what would you rather pick? Those torturous, toxic experiences? Or that time with Allah? The superficiality and arrogance of people? Or those angelic experiences in the middle of the night? Of course, anybody would pick the divine experience. Except those on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he is being taught in that experience, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Have we not expanded your chest for you, gave you clarity, gave you understanding, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, removed your burden from you. The Prophet felt the burden of not knowing what to do on his back. أَلَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, which was pushing you down, which was crushing your back. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we exalted your mention. Again, at the time of the revelation of these ayat, this mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by a handful of people, not many. In a lot of ways, this is a prophecy. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, with difficulty is ease. Not just after difficulty, with it. Packaged in it. It is with that pain that growth comes. Without it, it's not possible. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So when you are free from your responsibility, prophetic responsibility, interacting with people, facing whatever it is that they have to throw against you, then you can. When you're free from your hard labor, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, then you can turn to Allah with that raghbah, with that focus, with that attention, with that full commitment, which for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an everyday affair, that he would interact with people, and he would interact with people to the utmost level of ihsan, to the utmost level of excellence. He would be the best with them, not just with his family, but with his enemies as well. In forgiving them, but in being stern with them as well, whatever the situation demanded of him. But then at night, he would have his opportunity to have his one-on-one with Allah, to experience that level of closeness, that conversation, with Quran standing before Allah, crying profusely. That was what he longed for. So he followed this surah every single day. And then he ultimately followed this surah in the entirety of his life. For when the time came and he was given the option that you've done your job, your hard labor is over, the Arabian Peninsula is Muslim, he said, "Fir Rafiq al-A'la." Allah the highest companion, which meant that he chose death. That is the sunnah of his love. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم اللهم اخزل من خزل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين في غزة يا رب العالمين اللهم انصرهم اللهم يسر لهم امورهم اللهم اعزهم يا رب العالمين عباد الله رحمكم الله واستغفر الله إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم فادعوه يستجب لكم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر الرؤوف الرحيم أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
So, please keep the rows straight and turn your cell phones on silent. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in Ihdina assirata al-mustaqim Sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Before the announcements, we would like to thank Dr. Yusuf Raza for coming to Hamza and delivering this beautiful khutbah and Jazakallah khair. Hafiz Yusuf for leading the Jummah Salah. So two brother Yusuf in two consecutive Jummahs in Hamza. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. And now the announcements. Tonight, we will have a Quran night. Hafiz Junaid's students will be reciting Quran and telling us the stories about the Sahabas. So tonight, after Maghrib, tonight, Al-Maghrib is hosting an event called Kings of Jerusalem. Sheikh Majid Mahmood and Yasir Qadi will be at Crown Plaza, Atlanta Northeast, North Cross. Madina Institute is hosting an event on Siratul Nabi after Maghrib, and the Nasheed artist Nadir Khan will be there. October 5th, Hamza is hosting an event on Siratul Nabi. And now I would like to request, and one last announcement is about our construction. As you can see, the construction is going on for our Hamza Science Academy, Islamic School. And on your way out, please grab a pledge form, fill it out, and bring it back next week. And may Allah accept your donation. Now I would like to request Hafiz Yusuf to make dua for Brother Saud. He is in ICU, and Abdullah Fidai, he is also in ICU.
اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اشفهم اللهم ارحمهم اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their suffering inshallah Ya Allah Ya Allah we ask you for a complete and safe recovery for both Ibn Saud and as well as Abdullah Fidaya Inshallah, Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.